to get the sense of what on earth is this passage all about, we need to first remember that in Judaism, there's no such thing as what Jews believe or what Jews teach. There were all these different groups, all these different rabbis who had their own understanding and interpretation of the law. Different groups would place authority on different parts of the scriptures. They would say that the first five books are the only things that you can draw any doctrines from. Others would accept all of the canonical scriptures. And so there were different understandings and interpretations. People who said, no, we must only believe what was believed from the very beginning. Others who said, no, we can interpret the doctrine. We can introduce new understandings. So things like the resurrection weren't there in the beginning. It was a doctrine that had slowly begun to develop, particularly in the 200 years or so before the time of Jesus. Second, we need to see where this passage is situated in the Gospel of Luke. Now, remember last Sunday, we were down in the valley of the Jordan, there in the town of Jericho, and we had this encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus. And so we've journeyed not just physically, but there's also this spiritual sense of what's happening and unfolding in the Gospel of Luke at this point. So we traveled from 200 or so meters below sea level up the valley and into this mountainous region where Jerusalem is located. But we've also been on the journey through the Gospel, the journey of revelation, the journey of Jesus introducing himself to the smaller group of disciples and then larger groups and then to the whole people, declaring himself to be the Messiah, doing the kinds of things that the Messiah was meant to do, to bring freedom to people, to bring the nation together once again. Back last Sunday, when we were there in Jericho, Jesus was not just doing the kinds of things that a priest in Judaism was meant to do. He was doing the kinds of things that the temple itself was meant to do. And so as he journeyed at the end of chapter 19 to Jerusalem and makes his triumphant entry into the city, after first weeping and lamenting because Jerusalem had not done all that it had been promised to do back 1,000 years before at the time of King David. And then Jesus cleanses the temple and begins to teach with authority. And so when these pathetic group of people come trying to trick him up, trying to set this reductio ad absurdum argument, just positing this question that is so stupid and so bizarre that of course you just laugh at it. You know, imagine this scenario with these seven men trying to be faithful to the law of Moses that we read about in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 25 verses 5 to 10, what we call the Levirate law, this declaration which was essentially about property rights, saying that if a man should die childless, then his brother should move in to try and produce an heir to protect the property, to protect that heritage and that inheritance that was there given to them by the Lord himself. And that whole understanding of the connection between the promise and the land. They understood that their authority and their power came about by propagating this sacrificial system. They were all about just continuing the, in some ways, the oppression of the people. They were the ones who thought that the Roman occupation was fine because they were benefiting from it. They were receiving kickbacks. They were receiving money, just as Zacchaeus was in the Gospel last week. And so the Sadducees were those who were cooperating very much with the very presence of evil. And Jesus then addresses them. Jesus addresses them in the same way that he addresses every single question that we might ever throw at him, by the truth, by the glory of his word, by this declaration that they don't understand yet the power of what God has been trying to do in the very person of Jesus right throughout his ministry from the time up in Galilee and as he's journeyed through on his way to Jerusalem, of allowing the kingdom of God to be declared, of allowing the kingdom of God to break in through the very life and ministry of Jesus as he's healed the sick, as he's brought the dead back to life, as he's forgiven sins, as he's made this declaration of the truth of what this is all about. As God continues to do exactly the same in our own lives and in our own world today.
that God continues to desire for the kingdom of God to break into our lives. And so he's saying this is what this whole ministry is about. Because Jesus is not just the Messiah. He's not just the one to bring about the freedom for a particular people in a particular time, but he's also the Son of the living God. He's not just in the line of David, he is the Lord of David. This powerful sense of what happens when the glory of God begins to break into our lives. The point of all of this is to be in relationship with the Lord. What is the ultimate point of marriage, of the giving and taking of men and women? But to discover love, to discover that self-giving, to fall in love so deeply with another person that you realize that this is not about me, it's about the other person. And the begetting of children in the same way of being able to discover the absolute gift of yourself in your children and the discovery of love. The point of all of that is finding the life of God and allowing ourselves to be used by God to be sharers in that ministry of breaking in the kingdom of God in our very midst. And so in the kingdom to come, there will be no need for any of that because all of us will have discovered and found true life and love in God. And so this powerful sense, this is why this is finally fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. Of course, we continue to experience that. We continue to live and share and in all of our current way of life. But the call of that is to be made ready for the kingdom of heaven. The point of that is to discover that life in its fulfillment and in its ultimate desire in the life in heaven. Not just in the way that people experience that now. When people die, there is this sense of life after death in that they're in paradise, they're with the very presence of God. But that's not the understanding of heaven as we have it in the biblical terms. In the biblical sense, heaven only finally happens when heaven and earth come together in the final fulfillment, when heaven is established here on earth, when the kingdom of heaven and earth finally come together in the great consummation and the great wedding feast that concludes the scriptural witness in Revelation 21 and 22. This powerful sense that this is when we finally discover what the kingdom of God looks like, when we finally experience that true fulfillment of love in sharing in the very presence of God in that intimate, beautiful union with God and with one another, when everything is finally put to rights. And we discover what the meaning of Jesus in those words about God is of the living. God is the God of the living, not of the dead. That this is why God is wanting to set everything to rights. Every evil will be done away with. Everything that is not in alignment with that will of God will finally be fulfilled in him. This is the longing for us. The Sadducees and all that are like them will pass. In just a generation after these words were said by Jesus to this particular Jewish sect, they were no more. Once the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70, there were no more of this sect. All of that had been wiped away. Anyone who aligns themselves with power and with authority that is not of God will find themselves in the same fate. Anyone who aligns themselves to the way of the kingdom of God, to the way of love, will find themselves in eternal life with God.